Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5 The Fan. A little bit earlier today, of course, you heard from Andy Reid exclusively on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5. And one other thing he mentioned was Travis Kelce, because I think nobody has fully gone panic or anything, but people have acknowledged and noticed the start to the season. You know, you're normally seeing bigger production. And I thought after week one, it was more of a, man, he just wasn't getting open, but Rashee Rice was, and so they just fed him the ball. This week, the production wasn't there, but I actually felt like Travis got open, just the results weren't there. And so for those that think that he's done and he's just not getting open, I'll push back on that. I don't think we're there yet. Now, do I think the chance of him having a 1,200-yard or 1,000-yard season have gone down considerably? Yeah, I think that's fair. But do I think he's suddenly a 500-yard receiver this year? Of course not. So let's see what happens when he's not going up against the Bengals and the Ravens, two of the better AFC teams heading into the season. I understand they're both 0-2. And what happens when he starts to face some lesser tier opponents and defenses overall? Because yesterday, if he's not tackled at the half-yard line, we're talking about him having a touchdown. If the penalty doesn't get called back, something unrelated to him, we're talking about him having, what, 45, 50 yards and a touchdown, and you're feeling way different.
And there were other targets that went his way where little things went wrong. Andy even said it was he made it sound like it was kind of Travis's fault. There was a miscommunication between Travis and Patrick Mahomes on that interception where the option they should have chosen was not chosen, thus leading to those things. But Andy went out of his way to say, he's not washed. That's not how we put it.
Yeah,
but he went out of his way to say.
Yeah, he said he's not slowing down. And he's going to eventually get his.
That's not his problem. His problem is not slowing down. And honestly, isn't it kind? This isn't a running back. I watched Travis Kelce dominate multiple very good defenses like a couple of months ago. He ran through Miami, Buffalo, Baltimore, and San Francisco. Like a hot knife through butter. Wasn't a problem. So what, all of a sudden, because he got to relax this offseason, he can't play? Doesn't make sense.
Right.
Now, I'll say, I cannot make this argument 3 weeks from now. If it keeps looking like this, and I'm just going to go right back to the well. Personally, I'll be betting Travis Kelce's yardage over again
this week. I wonder what that number
will
be. It was 50
and a half.
It'll
be even lower.
45?
It'll be 45, and I'll just double down. I'll triple down, or whatever the hell I bet the last time, because I'm convinced that is a number that will get hit, and he eventually will come back to form. I just think he's off to a slow start, which has never really happened in his career, but they also haven't needed it. Rashee Rice has 12 catches for 178 yards and is on pace for 1,500 yards. When Andy Reid says it opens up things for other people, I think he means it. And the person it opens it up for is Rashee Rice. The second both of those guys are running in a similar part of the field, and you're focused on Travis Kelce, well, look who the beneficiary is. The man who has 12 catches for 178 yards and a touchdown already this year. And again, yesterday felt like more a couple of near misses than Travis Kelce was uninvolved in the game plan. Travis Kelce was involved in the game plan. There were some plays that certainly could have gone his way, but they were off. Everything was a tick off yesterday offensively. He threw for 151 yards. The Chiefs offense looked meh yesterday. Now, we had mentioned a stat. You and I were talking at the very beginning of the show, like, hey, you know what? Sometimes the way that it works in the league is, you know, when you're the Chiefs, you get to win games that other teams don't, right? I'll give credit to Taylor Swift, for running the numbers on this, because kudos to running the numbers on this part. But since 1991, a team to gain under 300 total yards, which the Chiefs did, allow 21 or more points, which they did, commit 3-plus turnovers, which they did, and convert less than 15% of their third downs, because they were awful on that, too. Teams up to yesterday were 0 for 151. Goose egg. Non-zero. They're now 1-151 because the Chiefs, of course, won that game, even though they shouldn't. That's how I feel about Travis Kelce. Hadn't even needed him, and they're still 2-0. Travis Kelce been a non-factor in the offense, 2-0. Missing one of their best wide receivers going into the year, 2-0. Haven't played good defense against 2-0. Like, they find ways to win more than other teams do because they're great.
It'll be daring an opponent at some point, too. I don't know if that's the Falcons on Sunday or not. But week one, we all acknowledge that, hey, the Ravens were not going to let Travis beat him, but Rashee Rice was wide open in the middle of the field throughout the entire game. He had a huge game. This week, Rashee Rice still had the biggest offensive play of the game, right? The long touchdown reception, and was the leading receiver in this contest as well. At some point, other teams are going to say, all right, we know what you're doing. Travis is opening the middle of the field.
So we're taking Rashee Rice away.
And that's the game. I don't know when it's going to be. Maybe it's Sunday. When all of a sudden Travis is back, 5 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. Like, that's going to happen. I don't suddenly think Travis Kelce is, whatever he's pacing for, which is what, like 300 yards right now, 400 yards?
Probably. Like, I mean, I think he's got like 20 yards a game.
He's going to have more than that. I don't think it's panic, but I agree with you that
in about 3 weeks, I can't keep making this argument.
If it's middle of October and he still hasn't had a game above, let's call it 70 yards receiving, then I think we have to acknowledge that things might be a little bit different. But I disagree with the notion that he looks like slow or old or anything. That's not what I'm seeing on the field either. He hasn't got the ball, but I believe he got open a few times. He still has the ability, when the play breaks down, nobody is better with the rapport with Mahomes to find open space and get open. But let's just play this thing out. If the entire offense was struggling, and I know yesterday was more of a struggle in the air, they still ran the ball really well.
They did.
If the entire offense was like last year, and that's not, even in this game, that's not what it was. It was way more of a struggle last year, I promise you. We all saw it. Then I'd be more concerned, and I would say, uh-oh. Right now, there's been some other guys that have made plays to help this team win. They scored 26 points yesterday. There were times last year it was a struggle to get to 21.
Yeah, and again, props aren't out for that yet. Just no. I will be betting it again because that's just the way that it works. By the way, a little more news on the Bryce Young front. Adam Schefter is reporting that this came from Canales and Executive Vice President Brant Tillis of
former Chiefs
front office member. He's claiming it's not from the owner.
And so, who's putting that out to him?
The owner.
I'm very skeptical on that one.
Well, you know what it is? The quote is what killed me. He said they called this Canales' first, quote, big boy decision. That sounds like something a rich billionaire who has lost touch of his team would say. Big boy decision? That sounds like, that could not reek more of billionaire trying to run his team from a quote, right?
David Tepper, man. David freaking Tepper.
Someone asked earlier, what is a worse run franchise right now, the Carolina Panthers or the Chicago White Sox? Which would you do a better job running because of how poorly run they are?
The issue, I think, both owners are not the best, to say the least. David Tepper is so new on the job. The hope, if you're a Panthers fan, here's the hope, that it goes so badly that this owner eventually realizes that he's the problem. And I know you're saying, good luck with that. I get it.
But and he just gets out of the way.
But remember in San Francisco,
yeah,
I don't know, 7 years ago, if that, before John Lynch and company arrived, their owner, Jed York, people thought was too involved. Thought he knew everything. Then he backed off a little bit, realized that putting smart football people in place, and I think, by the way, Brant Tillis is one of those in Carolina.
Yeah, he was really well-received here in Kansas City.
Now he's had success, and nobody really talks about Jed York in a negative way anymore. Their team's been to multiple Super Bowls. They just have ran into the Chiefs, but they've been to multiple Super Bowls, and we all acknowledge that the Niners front office is...
I've never seen clips of Jed York, really. Yeah,
and we all think the Niners have a pretty damn good front office in how they operate, even if they've got some financial issues coming up soon. So Carolina fans, if there are any, I've never met a Panthers fan in my life. If you're out there, you need a hope in a way it blows up so badly this year that maybe, just maybe, David Tepper gets it finally. But I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair stance to have. Should we have a little fun?
How about an audio fun bag on a Monday? We do this throughout the entire NFL season. Some of the moments throughout the NFL and college football sometimes. And some of the moments that stood out to us. Can I start with the Chiefs moment? This was just during highlights. So, friend of the show, Terry Bradshaw?
Yeah.
At least friend of Drew and I. I don't know about to.
Not my friend.
I don't know. After his comments. He
called
was
me a little
doing
sissy,
highlights.
Man.
His was his comments on the touchdown pass, the dime from Mahomes to Rashee Rice. Let me say that again. To Rashee.
Let's do it. Taylor Swift, are you in the house? There she is. How you doing? Got her Chiefs sweatshirt owner. Boyfriend's number 87. What? I know. Patriots at home. So Rashee Wallace on a 44-yard touchdown.
To Rashee Wallace. Yeah, you heard that right.
At home. So Rashee Wallace on a
44-yard. Was the last time he played a different sport, mind you? Was the last time he was in the uniform?
Rashee Wallace was at Chiefs training camp this year, remember?
That's true. Rashee is a big Chiefs fan.
He was at camp, but no, Rashee Wallace did not catch that perfect pass from Mahomes. That was Rashee Rice.
That's, I'm sorry, that's just a ludicrous mistake. Even from our guy Terry Bradshaw, I can forgive him for calling me a little sissy man. I guess, for now.
Okay.
Until he comes back on the show, and then I reserve the right to change my mind. Right. Mine goes to the land of the Green Bay Packers, who essentially just said, what if we didn't make Malik Willis do anything in order to get a win, and successfully executed that plan? He threw for just 122 yards, but completed like 85% of his passes. And Josh Jacobs had, like, I don't know, 120 yards at half or something of that game. But there was a play in which Malik Willis faced a 3rd and 10. Immediately bailed. Right out to the sideline, gained like 3 yards. And LaFleur's like, hey, man, the hell? That wasn't the play we called. Why did you just run to the sideline? Only to find out this was the reason.
Yeah, I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that 3rd down. And he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like... That's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, the official came over to me, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center throwing up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation and it's 3rd down and I've never had a throw with vomit on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
I mean, you can watch it clear as day. Someone zoomed in. Found the replay, and I mean, right before he snaps it to Malik Willis, he vomits all over the football, and then Malik Willis just like, well, I guess I'll just run out of bounds. I can't be sure that I can actually throw this stupid thing. I'd be mad at touching it. I'd be like, what the hell, man?
We've seen players vomit before for various reasons on a field, but on the football, the quarterback?
That's a new one.
And Malik, look, the Packers, they beat the Colts. Malik Willis still didn't look great. He just didn't make mistakes, whereas Anthony Richardson, I think, had 2 interceptions or whatever
it
was.
He made several mistakes.
Elsewhere, how about Jesse Palmer? College football over the weekend, right? Florida Gators in action. What they were playing, Florida. They lost to number 8 Florida. Miami, Florida, sorry. 41-17. Yeah. Listen to clearly upset, irritated Jesse Palmer. There was a fan that they were pointing out here, if you're wondering the context.
With the stripped over.
Yeah, he's got a mustache. Can't see it now, but he's whipping his hand with his shirt. I'm going to make a bold prediction here. I'm going to say that guy's in the friend zone.
You leave him alone.
No, I think he's a great guy. I didn't say he was a bad guy. I'm just saying, I don't think he's dating anybody in the shot right now. I think he's...
So the audio is not good, obviously. So if you
said, I think
that,
he's in the friend zone.
He saw a guy next to some ladies in the stands, and he's like, "Oh, he's he's in the friend zone." Just calls.
So I don't think he's dating anyone. I'm like, this guy's just innocently going to a football game wearing his overalls, and then Jesse Palmer just decides to bury his ass.
Jesse Palmer's having a bad day. His alma mater is getting killed. The head coach is a disaster, and yeah, it's not good.
that's just the worst. Kansas City great. Kansas City legend Kevin Harlan responsible for a piece of the audio fun bag this week because he's in the middle of calling his game. He's doing his job. He's focused on his work. He goes to toss it to Nate Burleson for a little score update back in the studio. Nate Burleson, and you'll hear this in the audio, immediately says he can't hear. And instead of just coming back or talking about his game, Kevin Harlan decides to give him the highlight for the game he's not even covering.
And let's take you to Nate Burleson in New York.
I can't hear anything.
I can hear you. Against Tennessee, and they're going deep, and it was caught by the Titans. Ridley with a touchdown reception. The former Jacksonville Jaguar, Will Levis, with a long throw for Tennessee. Back to Minneapolis. All right, Nate, thank Matthew. Second down six. Onside they go. There's Ayuk with the catch, and out of bounds he goes.
No one is better on the fly than Kevin Harlan. That man tossed great. To a highlight. He said he couldn't do it. He just gave the highlight himself and then tossed it back to himself. If you go back and listen to the rest of it, his color commentator was like, I don't know how you do it, man.
That was Trent Green.
I don't know how you do this yourself and you kick it back to yourself. I don't know how you're even capable of this. It's incredible.
The best part was, I can't hear anything. I can.
Yeah, the normal cut-ins we always see during games and go back to the studio for a quick little update, and they obviously had some technical issue and then Harlan ran with it. He's great. We all know a couple years ago he was calling two games at once, basically, right? He was calling the Chiefs game and then also calling the Dolphins, thank you, Ryan Fitzpatrick game.
Yeah.
For seeding
purposes.
Because
it was choosing the Chiefs as the number one seed before winning their first Super Bowl. Speaking of the Titans, Will Levis might have completed that touchdown. One last one for the audio fun bag. I don't know that a coach could make it more obvious how much he hates his starting quarterback in Brian Callahan. If you don't know, he was caught on camera saying, what the F are you doing? To his quarterback. I mean, clear as day on camera. He was asked about it in postgame and said this.
What did you say to Will on the fumble? I know you look very upset on the side.
I think the camera caught it pretty clear, if I had to guess. So, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown up and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
Oh my God, he hit him with the he's a grown up. That's like treating him. When you say he's a grown up.
Quarterback play. What Ooh. Can I say?
It's not his quarterback. He didn't draft him. And you can tell where this is trending already.
I don't think Will Levis is going to be last for very long.
Hopefully he makes a lot of money off of the perfume mayo sales going forward. Because I don't think he's going to be starting in Tennessee
Who's
after this season.
Who's the backup there even?
I mean, they traded Malik Willis. That's a good question, Drew. I don't know.
Oh, about to be Bryce Young. It's a trade for him.
I don't know if he believes in Bryce Young either. Mason Rudolph is the backup.
He is a better option. At least he's...
Are we sure?
Yes.
Mason Rudolph got a couple wins in Pittsburgh because he had TJ Watt on the other side of the field helping him keep it one possession game.
I think
he's
better than Will Levis. At least he doesn't make dumb decisions.
Ooh, yeah.
We had him hands behind his head falling down after throwing an egregious interception and then sprawled out throwing a pitch back. Just a terrible decision. Two terrible decisions.
He really hates Will Levis.
Yeah. And they have Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd DeAndre Hopkins and yet you would think they'd be able to do
Tony
something
Pollard.
Offensively.
I will say, however, he's doing an excellent job selling mayonnaise. You know, kudos to Will Levis.
Perfume's working. Perfume game or cologne or whatever it is.
He's sick and tired of him rubbing oil on his arms during practice. Like, settle down, Will.
This is his mayo man.
Well,
mayo game may be delicious.
Kind of defining yourself with your play right now, man. It's not been pretty there in Tennessee. Not been pretty.
No, it's been pretty.
That is the audio fun bag on a Monday. Some of the moments that stood out to us with broadcasts over the weekend or coaches.
I'm really excited. So the Royals return to the K tonight. I've not been given any more free. I gave away like 30 free tickets last week. I have requested some more for this weekend, hoping to get some more maybe to give away on the show from you and I so we can send some more people out to the K. There's two things that really stand out. One, I'm curious to find out if JJ saying we want 150,000 people out at the K actually happens over the next six games. And in my opinion, the only way that the Royals do not end up a postseason team this year is if they get swept by this Tigers team. It would take something, they'd still be two games up. It would take something like that to occur for the Royals to actually slip and lose their playoff seeding in there. So just as long as they come out firing with Lugo tonight, firing with Reagans this week, they do have to face Scooble on Wednesday, but just as long as they come out firing in these first couple of games, they're going to be fine because this is a massive series because technically, based on their magic number, they could clinch a playoff spot this week,
depending on
how things go.
They could bury the Tigers with a series win or certainly a sweep. I mean, they absolutely could just based off of where things sit. You kind of laid it out there. I mean, the Tigers currently are four games above 500. They are 2.5 back of the final wild card spot, which is currently occupied by the Twins, in which the Royals have a 2.5 game lead over Minnesota. We know the Royals are playing the Tigers beginning tonight, as you said, at a Kauffman Stadium. And so you do have an opportunity when Minnesota's playing Cleveland. I mean, if you're the Royals, of course, you're hoping you can somehow sweep the Tigers. If the Twins could take two of three or three of, you know, something, sweep the Guardians, and all of a sudden the division gets even more interesting with 13 games or 12 games to go. But yeah, for the Tigers, I mean, just like the Royals have been, I mean, the Tigers know, because they dug themselves such a hole early on in the season, the fact that they're even in this conversation is pretty impressive for Detroit.
Sure.
But they can't afford to lose this series. Like, they're at the point where they have to, like, win every single series, talking about Detroit, the rest of the way for them to get in the playoffs.
The Royals only have one series remaining against a winning team. It's against the final team of the, I think, oh no, sorry, the Tigers. Duh. They have two against winning teams, two against losing teams right now, the rest of the way.
They end up with the Braves.
The Braves, who are around the same number of wins they are now, 81, 82 wins. And the Tigers, who are a few games below them. They also have two series against teams 10, 15 games below 500. If you've been paying attention, the way it lays out for the Guardians is they got four against the Twins starting tonight. So no matter what, you get, honestly, in a lot of ways, no matter what, you're either going to keep your cushion in the second wild card spot, or you're going to make up ground on the division just as long as you can get a win. So these next three games against the Tigers are incredibly important, because win those, you eliminate any possibility of anyone catching you in the wild card, and you either separate yourself so far from the Twins they can't catch you for the second wild card spot, or you make up games on the Guardians and actually make this a sweat for the final week. But they've got the Guardians have the Twins, then the Cardinals, then the Astros, and then the two-game set against the Reds squeezed in there.
The Guardians have their best odds of the entire season now, because we're running out of games, to win the division.
Sure.
Guardians are minus 1150. That is by far the widest margin.
Can you hedge even at that number? You had a Royals 30-1 ticket to win the division. That's too big. You can't even hedge
properly.
Royals
are plus 750 right now. Mm. Yeah, the only way that gets interesting again, the Royals sweep the Tigers and the Twins sweep the Guardians. Then we're talking again.
Then maybe you can, you know.
That's what it would take to have, like, the... And even then, it's not like the Royals would be tied. I mean, that's just to get it within a
game or two. They're four games back right now.
Yeah, not even a game and a half. It'd still be two games, wouldn't it? Yeah.
If they swept, no, it would be a game.
A game.
They're four back. If they swept and the Guardians lost at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. That would be a dream scenario.
If they lost just two of the three games, well, then it would be a game and a half. They'd still be 2.5 games back of the Guardians. And obviously not playing each other the rest of the way, but the Guardian schedule is harder than the Royals the rest of the season.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then we get back into some of the Chiefs and Bengals fun, including our favorite wide receiver in the league, Ja'Marr Chase, some of his comments, plus the punishment that's coming this week.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Drew.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending. Well, look, the Chiefs got the win. They start 2-0, but it's the injury news that we got today. Andy Reid says there's no official timeline for Isaiah Pacheco, but Ian Rappaport earlier today did report that Isaiah Pacheco is likely to miss, my favorite wording, real time, as if they're serving a prison sentence or something.
Not fake time.
Real time. No, it sucks. I feel terrible for Isaiah Pacheco. He was very emotional in the locker room yesterday, but the expectation is he's going to need surgery for a fractured fibula. No official timeline, but we're talking months here, much like Hollywood Brown, months, not weeks, if he returns.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the most likely scenario. It's same as Hollywood Brown. If you're the Chiefs, I think you have to plan on a season that does not include your starting running back or your number two wide receiver. And instead, you're going to need step ups from Carson Steele and Xavier Worthy or somebody else they go target. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who Andy said could be a factor in the running back room when he can return from the NFI list after week four. Next up on What's Trending, big news in the NFL. Bryce Young has officially been benched by the Carolina Panthers. Reports say, from Adam Schefter that decision came from head coach Dave Canales and executive vice president Brant Tillis. But yeah, they've walked on, essentially, Bryce Young, the number one overall pick from just a year ago. If you want to know just how bad that deal is going, obviously, I don't think Caleb Williams is like lighting the world on fire, but it led the Bears to get Caleb Williams. they're not even done technically paying for Bryce Young. They will owe a second-round pick in the upcoming 2025 NFL draft, so they haven't even stopped paying for it. That trade was that the Bears got wide receiver DJ Moore, 2023 first-round pick Darnell Wright, the offensive tackle, cornerback Tyreek Stevenson in the second round of 2023, Caleb Williams, and they still get a second-round pick yet, and Bryce Young didn't even make it 19 starts before getting benched. That is Josh Rosen fast. That's shockingly quick.
Next up on What's Trending, we're going to talk more college football tomorrow on a Tuesday about all three locals, starting with Kansas State. Really impressive win last Friday night. You heard the game over on 610 The Fan AM. K-State 31-7 win, second half in particular. To me, they unleashed Avery Johnson in the second half. He looked really good, his best performance of the season. As for the Missouri Tigers, it was close early, but by halftime they had the lead. Boston College got out to a quick start. Missouri stays undefeated, 27-21 win over previously ranked Boston College. As for the Kansas Jayhawks, a loss to UNLV at home, 23-20. After a good quarter from Jalen Daniels, it was much of the same. Bad decision making, poor play calling. The Jayhawks, a disappointing 1-2 out of the gate. We'll talk about all three locals tomorrow. Don't worry, I saw some of you asking my thoughts.
Yeah, he's not ducking it.
Trying to get tomorrow.
You know, Drew had to wear it today. Yeah. You, the Jayhawks fan, got to just Lay quietly.
Two things with that. One, we always will talk about on a Tuesday. The other part is I also wasn't talking as much as Drew last week. I recognize the questions about Jalen Daniels going into the game. We went through our roundtable stuff last Friday, and I said, we're going to find out if this is a real thing, a real problem, or was it a fluky thing? Oh, it's a real problem.
Yeah,
it's a real problem.
I couldn't believe they were running the ball with a minute 10 left on the clock, and they were down.
Also, pounce on the damn fumble. Oh, goodness gracious.
That play was terrible.
A lot of mistakes.
Really embarrassing performance overall.
Poor coaching. I mean, honestly, like I know Lance Leipold has, of course, done a great job turning the program around. We're going to do this more tomorrow. This has big ramifications, not just this year, but while they're trying to get the other phase of this stadium funded, when your team now is 1-2, you think those games at Arrowhead aren't going to look empty? More likely, they're going to look empty now. I mean, this was a big, big loss for more than just the immediate.
They had Travis Goff on, I believe, on the broadcast, and he said they'll be ready in 10 months, I think, to play there. Again, I don't know if that was what he said. I don't know if that means...
But he's just getting the rest of it funded. They only have half of the damn stadium funded.
And when that announcement came out, we were up at training camp 2 years ago, I remember, when the renderings came out, first reaction was, this is cool, but I'm a little worried they haven't put a timetable on the second or third phase or whatever it is. And they're like, well, we will eventually. I'm just saying, if this season goes the way it's trending, which is like a 5-win, 6-win max, like 6 wins would be an accomplishment right away. Things are trending. And anyway, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow.
Next up on What's Trending, the Royals and Tigers up tonight, right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, of course, you'll be able to catch postseason baseball, most likely. It's Seth Lugo on the mound tonight for the Royals. They're still 4 games back in the division, 5 games up on the behind the team in the wild card spot, 2.5 games up on the Twins. But the most important thing probably watching now, Gold, is they're 2 games back of Baltimore. And before you think that's unimportant, it is not. To catch Baltimore would mean they'd get to host up to 3 wild card games instead of have to go to Baltimore for potentially all 3. So catching the Orioles is actually what I've set my sights on instead. Look, if something happens with the division and that conversation comes back to fruition, I'm all ears. But at the moment, the key thing is, can you catch the Orioles? Because the Tigers got them in 2 of 3 over the weekend. Now you're just cutting on some more wins. They got 4 against the Giants starting tonight, 2 more against the Tigers, and then they got the Yankees and Twins to finish up the season. So not an easy task for Baltimore.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. You guys know last week we made a bet with our producer, Mr. Cincinnati. He's still wearing a Joe Burrow jersey today.
Supporting his guy. You wore Chiefs stuff when they stunk. Good for you.
Yeah, not the day after a loss, but anyway.
Oh, really?
Not the day after a loss.
That goes back to my point last week.
What's your point, please?
Who amongst us is still supporting our team after a loss?
I feel like a lot of people still wore Chiefs stuff after a loss.
I would hope so.
I'm not afraid to wear a Royals shirt after they lose a game.
Only play 162 of them. They play 162 of those. Point being, we made a bet with Drew.
Yeah.
He has to, now it's official, get his hair dyed just like Joe Burrow, his idol. I don't know if there's posters above your bed or not, but
there's not.
But that's the haircut, and the hair is going to be bleach like that. I need to respond to a text message I have from somebody from a salon here in downtown KC that's offered to come in. It's a professional salon. They're not going to screw your hair up or anything.
Okay, well,
other than the fact that it's getting bleached.
We were going to just have some dude off the street come in here with a bottle and dye.
We're doing it here, correct?
It needs to be on air.
Okay, so it's got a reek
of bleach in here, man.
Okay, so I will.
I think it needs to happen on air.
So I will get my hair cut then first, and then we'll have it bleached from there. But yeah,
so that's part of the bet. You're going to pay that off. Yeah, I think this week.
Absolutely.
The McDonald's challenge might happen at a later date, but you owe us a McDonald's 12-hour challenge. With the Chiefs getting the victory over your Cincinnati Bengals. And we discussed Ja'Marr Chase's comments last week, of course, when he said they're the team to beat in the AFC. We went back and forth on that. It looks, I'll be honest, like, because of his actions in the game, it looks even more foolish. This is the problem when you talk a lot of crap and you don't back it up. And that's what happened this time. He's talked crap before and he's backed it up. He didn't. Not only did they lose, he had a deciding penalty. One of the key factors in the game was a 3rd and 7. He completes the catch. Trent McDuffie's all over his ass like he was the entire game. He didn't have over 50 yards receiving. He, for whatever reason, gets up, freaks out on the official, gets a personal foul penalty. Joe Burrow has to shove him backwards because he was even disrespecting your guy Joe Burrow in that moment, too. And when you say the things you've said and you don't back it up, your people are going to go after you, and that's what's happened. And I think the Chiefs kind of played this thing perfectly with Ja'Marr Chase. As Trent McDuffie said in the locker room, it's not about what they said. It's just they know how to frustrate him.
I mean, we know what he's about, you know. And I think on the defensive side, we just, not to say get in his head, but do our job to a point where you mess him up, you know. So not having to say anything, not have to do anything extra, just not allow him to catch the ball. I mean, as a receiver, that's frustrating. I get it. You know, if I'm a DB and they're catching the ball on me all the time, I'm gonna be upset too. So just not getting him the ball, I feel like, is the biggest thing for us to get in his head.
There's no debate. I don't care if you're Bengals fan or not. There's no way you can tell me that Trent McDuffie and or the Chiefs defense were not absolutely in the head of Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, I think they pissed him off.
Yeah.
Because I think to Trent's point, him not getting the ball, I mean, any wide receiver, you look at Stephon Diggs, maybe CeeDee Lamb, other guys too, they want the ball in their hands. And Trent did a really good job of prohibiting it. That was one of the things going into the game that we talked about last week, is what is Spags' plan going to do, or what is it going to be regarding Ja'Marr Chase? And, you know, he did a great job whenever he was open. It was only for short gains. It was trying to find pockets of space and all that
stuff. He only got 4 yards off of Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, I think they did a great job of game planning for Ja'Marr Chase. And it showed by the way that he, you know, I think he got a little heated, obviously.
He lost it. He lost his cool. Yeah. And I'm not 100%. Saying I've never seen a Chiefs player not lose his cool, but he made it to Thursday, lost his cool and couldn't stop but open his mouth. Then he couldn't cash the check that his mouth tried to write on Sunday by only getting 35 yards, 4 of which came against Trent McDuffie. That's it. 4 of which came against Trent McDuffie. And honestly, this was, in all the games we've watched, the Chiefs play weird against Cincinnati. They play their worst games against Cincinnati consistently almost every single year. Like, they don't play them well. Lou gets them. Whatever else you want to look at it, consistently, right? They get them that way. Cincy shot themselves in the foot. They just got a turnover and immediately a fumble return for a touchdown from Shamari Connor.
That was the biggest sequence of the game. Yeah.
Easily reopened the wound. Joe Burrow could have gotten a first down. Ja'Marr Chase could have kept a drive alive. Instead, couldn't help himself.
Mike Gesicki, I believe.
The penalty to end the game.
I don't know if it was the same drive, but on the first down play after they got that pick, I think Gesicki dropped an open crossing route, and then two plays later, Joe Burrow fumbled. So, yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around that's not on the officials. For the reason that the Bengals lost, but look,
there should be no blame on the officials yesterday.
It's a pretty normal officiating.
They called penalties both. Actually, yeah. I mean,
I thought it was relatively consistent.
The Chiefs got called for an illegal hands to the face penalty, holding on the same drive as well, or the last two drives, I should say. We know there was a non-call, what should have been, I think, pass interference earlier in the game when Rashee Rice had wearing him like a backpack, basically.
I think it might have been Dax Hill on that one.
Sure, yeah. Like, so it happened throughout the game. It was clear PI at the very end. Ja'Marr Chase, I don't know what as McDuffie said, I don't know what he was really complaining about other than being frustrated. There was no horse collar. There was no face mask.
There was no hip drop.
It wasn't the hip drop tackle. So I'm not sure, other than just being frustrated that you didn't have a good day, what Jamar Chase's problem was.
I think that's mainly what it was. I will say this, then we'll get back to Jamar. The one out of both guys, out of him and then Cam Taylor-Britt, I thought Cam Taylor-Britt was the guy that shouldn't have talked. He did get burned on the play by Rashee Rice, but on the play where he was guarding Xavier Worthy, he was neck and neck with him all the way, turned and made the ridiculous. I'm glad that he made the play because he backed it up. By how much
he half backed it up. He correct. Also lost the game, and he let up a 50-yard touchdown.
Well, that was
50-50.
The one play, too, on that touchdown, by the way, I don't know what the hell he was doing. When they showed the replay, it looked like he slowed down as if Rashee was going to catch the ball, and then he sped up as soon as Rashee was going, put his hands on. I was like, what are you doing?
When in the press box, Mac and I were up there. Steve Smith Sr., we've had him on the show, obviously great. Great wide receiver, good personality over on NFL Network now. He was sitting next to us, and it's kind of what you just said. He was like, I think he was at practice. Like, he didn't think the ball was coming his way.
He had a
look back. Yeah, so that was Steve Smith Junior, Senior's reaction as well in regards to that particular touchdown.
But I will get the haircut. I will gladly do the bleached hair. Barber, I don't remember the place that he said his wife wanted to.
I don't know. I don't remember the name of the restaurant. You have to ask him.
I'll get him the $59 gift card, and we're going to do the McDonald's. I'm not running from it. It's not going to be... I'm not going to wait. It's going to be done. It's going to be done in the next month, I would say, all of this.
Who pays off the bet first? Cody's strip club visit, 2 years running,
probably, or me.
Drew's McDonald's challenge? We know the hair thing's happening this week, unless they can't come in this week.
Super busy.
We're going to go to Vegas for a third time. We're going to be in Vegas in October when the Chiefs are taking on Gardner Minshew in the Raiders. We're going to be out there. By the way, you guys can all join us in Vegas. We'll be at Circa Las Vegas. It is the place to be in Vegas. We'll be doing our shows Thursday and Friday of that game week. That Friday night, we're hosting a party, happy hour. We'll be giving away tickets to said game. We're going to have a great time. Plus, if you just want to hang out with some nice weather, end of October, it'll be beautiful out there still. What? Maybe it starts to get chilly here. They've got 6 pools, 143-foot screen outdoors, plus the world's largest sports book inside Circa Las Vegas. Some of you have already booked your stay. Join us out there. And even if for some reason maybe you already had a trip planned there and you're staying somewhere else, stop by our party on that Friday night and we're having a great time.
I will say, in fairness to you, Cody, going to a strip club for what would be the second time ever compared to me going to McDonald's to a challenge are two completely different things, in fairness.
Yeah, just very life's different. Very, you know, I got to teach tonight.
Who's going to spend more money? The McDonald's challenge or the strip club?
Oh my goodness. I mean,
the McDonald's challenge, it kind of depends. He's got to hit that value menu, I think.
Because the strip club, if you're in Vegas, that might cost you 40, 50 bucks in the door.
Is it confirmed that I have to spend my money correct on this, or is there?
We'll see what we can do.
I will
figure out a way to make sure you're not on the full financial
post,
burden.
I will post social media videos.
Drew's Venmo. We'll hand it out again. We'll get a picture.
I don't need the fan club sending
Venmo,
me money
Drew,
to get McDonald's.
Say whatever you want about Jamar Chase, like the top texter did.
Yeah,
I've gotten so much. Somebody,
he's a baby, man. Dude, that's what it is.
He
Jamar's
whines
a baby.
So much. He's a little whiner.
He used
I'll
to
use that word instead of the text line.
I understand.
He used to win more, be a bigger producer than he was a whiner, and now the ratio's off. It used to be he did 80% successful football stuff and 20% whining, and now it's like a 50-50 split.
I think he's pissed.
He does a lot more talking.
He didn't get paid. He's not winning. The numbers aren't there this Sunday in particular. That's what it is. I think ultimately he's mad because he didn't get paid. He was maybe told he was, and he knows that the owner that he currently plays football for is a cheap ass and doesn't have the money to put money in escrow the way other teams
do. Even if he was paid, I still think he would have had this moment because I think it was more on, it's the entire situation, but I think the higher percentage is he didn't play that great in week one. They lost the game. They were losing in this one. He was getting clamped. I think a lot of it kind of carried into him being a little pissed off. But hey, you know what?
Yeah, someone said, just don't use the value menu at the strip club the same way Drew might at McDonald's.
I don't think that exists.
I don't think there's a value menu there.
It's the opposite, actually.
Yeah.
It's the added value, but for a much steeper price.
I haven't seen. Has inflation hit the strip club industry or lap dances more these days? I don't know. I haven't been. Can't speak to that.
Is the Chiefs game's on the road, correct, in Atlanta?
Yes, Sunday night.
I'll be honest. If there was one place where you could visit, you go to Atlanta, Cody.
Maybe I mean, hitch a ride.
And it's Atlanta Magic where you City, get some chicken wings at Magic City.
But also, he's been to Vegas three times this year. There's not really probably a better city for that as well than Vegas.
I can't imagine there's a shortage there.
I don't know the next time that you will be at Vegas, but there's for you to have gone three times.
Look, I'll be there in like 2 weeks.
No, I'm saying after this.
Three, four weeks.
After this, I feel like this is the chance that you need to take if you're going to go.
Oh, I see.
You have to take it.
True,
now.
I agree. I've been trying. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Those trips are really busy. Tight schedule.
You said that this last trip.
First one, impossible.
Here's the issue. Can I share some one personal detail? I don't think you care. It doesn't really matter. This trip is even less likely, although it would make it hilarious. His wife's coming on this trip in October, and so there is no chance he's going to pay off the bet on this upcoming trip while his wife is flying out there with us for the trip as well.
She might be the last time, though.
The odds do seem to have decreased based on that fact, I will say. Now, she's never been like, you can't go. She just knows, why would I, like, this is not like an act. This is not like something I say to be like, I'm a good husband and you can believe me. I never do. It's nothing to do with that. It actually makes me uncomfortable. That was the whole point of the bet, obviously.
Exactly.
What's funny is, do you remember, someone was asking me, do you remember why I agreed to go? I do not remember the circumstances. It's been so long now, and that's on me. I don't remember the circumstances in which it took for me to have agreed to it. I feel like maybe it was Guillotine League based, but then I wasn't sure. I can't remember.
Did
I can no longer
out,
remember
like,
what
early
it was.
Week one in Guillotine or something. Thinking of Guillotine League,
I was
going to
say,
thinking of Guillotine League. It's week
Drew two. Drew won it last year, and he's out.
Drew almost got knocked out last week by 2 points. This week, he got knocked out. So that's not week one, but week two.
Batman, you're going to be last man standing after next week. I'm cooked.
Oh, you think?
My starting running backs, two of my first three picks were Isaiah Pacheco and Christian McCaffrey.
How do you think
that's going to go in a guillotine league?
Spend some of that cap, Cody, on...
I'm going to spend all my money. My only way to live now is to spend. You're not outbidding me for at least one starting player this week. I don't have a choice.
I had two players that threw
up... Bid or die.
I had two players that threw up zeros. I had four players that combined for a total of 17 points. That's not going to cut it. 48 points total, guys.
Since he loses to KC, Drew gets chopped from Guillotine. You've had better weekends.
Yeah. And he was sick on Saturday.
So. Yeah.
Tough, man.
Yeah, although the text line is correct, I will have, you know, as much as I, look, the last week we've been giving Drew a hard time. I had two people come up to me at the Chiefs game yesterday
take it easy,
man,
Drew.
You guys have been going after Drew, although we think it's hilarious. I'm like, look, it's a tough week. And with all that said, I will give you credit. It looks like you're on pace to pay off your bets, unlike somebody else.
I'm ready to go.
The text says, Drew is a more honorable man than Cody. He pays off his bets.
Yeah, I'll let
month,
you know.
Cody, you
I
can do need it. A, you can do it.
I do need to text the individual, but we did have a listener offer up their services for
shout out to them. Yeah,
the bleaching, Joe Burrow.
And yeah, be careful saying that.
What?
Bleaching?
I mean, there's a
of your hair, Drew. What did you think we were talking about?
Excuse me. We didn't have to bleach that.
Goodness gracious!
I'm just trying to get through a Monday here.
I'm so glad last week's done. Thank goodness.
I bet you are.
On to week three.
It was a rough.
Let's go.
It was a rough last six shows.
We can start talking Atlanta here
Thank
now. You know?
Yes.
We're back at it tomorrow. Nate Taylor going to join us. Also, Jake Eisenberg, one of the voices of the Royals. Have a good rest of the day. The Drive with C-Dot and Rob up next.